Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here today. I missed everybody last week. So it's great to see everybody here today. So we want to remember our prayer meeting and our Bible study. It started today at 9:30. We're studying the Daily Bread. And so I'm encouraging everybody to come at 9:30 and do a Bible study. We need to be getting in the Word together. So I think that's a great, not that we don't get the Word during the sermon, but get to discuss it. Bible studies are great too. You learn a lot through the Bible study. So then we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. If you just go to our website, you click on it can join on Zoom if you have Zoom on your computer, or you can call and just be on the phone, whichever one you would like. But it's great to be praying for everybody as a group. So it's a good prayer thing. Gleaners is on Wednesdays, and at 10:55 be here. At 11 o'clock, they open up for food, and it goes fast. And then if you know of somebody that needs help, be sure and contact Sherry or Helen. And then this weekend, Friday and Saturday, is the Women's Spring Convention, Connection. Whatever you call it. So anyway, it's great to get to go to, and it's in Aloha this year, so it's close for us. So that's really good. So talk to Donna if you're interested in going. Potluck is May 7th. We're going to switch back to the first Sunday of the month. So because of holidays and things like that. So first Sunday of the month will be potluck starting May 7th. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we have together. Thank you that we can come and just forget about the world and just worship you. Be with us, Lord. I praise you for what you do in each one of our lives. And we just thank you for Pastor Teresa and what she's got, but what you've put on her heart for us to hear. We thank you for these songs, Lord. May it just be music to your ears. And just let the words just absorb into us as we sing these songs. We love you, Lord. We thank you for today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So let's stand and go to the call to worship. It's Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. So we're going to sing My Redeemer Lives.
Woohoo! I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I'll raise a banner. 'Cause my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. My shame is taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I'll raise the banner. Cause my Lord has conquered the grave, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. You lift my burdens. I'll rise with you. I'm dancing on this mountaintop to see your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. 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 My Redeemer lives.
Water or the sea.
So this next song is a new one. So just sing along when you can.
It's repeated.
Yeah, it's very repetitive, so it'll be easy for you to catch.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your love. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their trust remain over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths change from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is filled and the earth is filled with your glory.
All right, we got it on the last verse.
Good to have my normal sidekick back here. Good to see another old friend back there. Yeah. Now's the time we get to give back for the many blessings he has given us. So many. If you're online and you're watching, remember you can go to Tithely to support as well. And if you rather give privately, you can go to Tithely and do it there. So, either way. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you give us. None the least, this home in our hearts, in Gales Creek. This place we can walk in and just say we're family. Lord, thank you for the families you give us through birth and adoption. Thank you for the jobs you provide. income that you give. A warm place to rest in peace. And friends to share your love with. Thank you for so many things that cannot be numbered. So Lord, let us give back a number to you that tries to reflect the great blessings you give us. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. At the cross I stood one day, love and mercy found me there, a bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring it seems before me. Help me walk from day to day shadow me. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond my beyond the river.
Thank you, Rhonda. I don't know if y'all know, but I always post a little share your prayer request in the live stream, so I always just check before I come up. So nothing there right now. So those of us that are here, we get a chance now to be church family, not just family, and share with each other our burdens and praises and go from there. So I would ask you continue to lift up my father-in-law right now as he's still slowly recovering from pneumonia. He is not wanting to do his physical therapy exercises. And part of that is the LAZY gene, to be honest. And part of it is he's coming back from pneumonia. Can anybody here attest that as you get older, the road back after each illness seems to take just a little longer? Yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah. So pray that we continue to show him love and not the frustration he probably deserves. Yeah. So that's my father, Louis Carabinas. Praise to see Phil and Wink back with us this week. Jeremy's back. Uh-huh. COVID can't keep us down, or anything else for that matter. Would anyone else like to share? Yes, Phyllis. Oh my. This is your daughter's friend, son, Jason, 5-year-old, who was found to have a lymphoma in his large intestine that was blocking his ability to take care of business. Okay. All right. Thank God they found it. They removed it now. And the prayer is for quick recovery and no colostomy being needed. Exactly. Helen, I saw your hand. Okay. All right. So in summer planning, everybody, if you have a little bit of time to help Helen, she might need some more rides, follow up in that surgery, help our body here. Yeah. She says, Judy says, if you can see her, then you can ask her. Just come ask Judy. Debbie. Okay, prayer for Bobby Kendall and the entire her family. Eve is not well either. And Linda went to the Lord a long time ago. So prayer for Bobby and for Pearl and for the whole Euler family. I remember several youth kids that I got to minister to in the past. And it's been great to see them post, you know, their clean dates on Facebook. And I just, every time they put up an anniversary, I just praise God right there on their page. So prayer for the Euler kids, Chandra, and I'm gapping on the older one, Nelson. Lee, that's right, Lee. I think it's Wayne technically, but he went by Lee. So, yeah. Okay. And this much I know. I know where Pearl's heart was. I know we get to see her again. And I know she's with the Lord. So, anybody else? Judy. Okay. It's a prayer for Marie Hundley, and the doctors are saying she has, first time I've heard this, COVID brain, but her brain is showing some symptoms from having dealt with COVID, and she's very confused. And so prayer for clarity and for peace, and it's probably to give herself grace, I would imagine, in that situation. That's one of the things that we're dealing with my father-in-law is there's almost no short-term memory sometimes. And so you can tell him to do one thing and then 5 minutes later. Yep. So grace. Lots of grace afforded. Knowing someday I'll be there. Okay. So prayer for Lori Cooper, who is having trouble keeping a normal 24-hour cycle with her sleeping and getting confused. That would be confusing if staffing was different where you were at and everything at night. That would get confusing, and you can kind of feel a little anxious from that. Bill. Yeah.
I also want to pray that our birth house no longer has struck up my life.
Yeah, no one can match that when God does it. Sorry. Yeah. Think. Bill is just thanking God that the burn pile is dealt with, and thank you to those that were able to help with that, and continue to give strength to those in our body. They're caring for those in our body, not here, and give them, you know, endless patience. Anybody else like to share a praise or prayer request? What about Landon? I see his arm up. Trial. Jason Tiganco. Okay. So Sarah is sharing two prayer requests with the body. The first one is for her former coworker, Alyssa, who has had the bone cancer seemingly forever now. On her 10th tumor, second time coming out of remission back into, or third time supposedly was in remission and now back, and doing some experimental drug trials for a month that hopefully will provide remission once again. And Alyssa has her parents there, her husband. And if you check her posts, even though her light might be dimming from time to time, it is shining brightly in her posts. So prayer that she stays true, and prayer that she can make it through. And then prayer for Sarah's neighboring teacher in her school. Her husband, Dason, is going to have a heart surgery soon, open heart surgery. And you know those are more rare these days, so you know it's serious. So that's Dason Tiaganko. Try to say that last name if you can, but Dason. Kind of like Jason, only Dason. Yeah. Prayer that Sarah has some encouraging words, just the words that Laura needs to hear the next couple weeks before her husband goes in for surgery. Absolutely. Kim. So her name is Riley. Riley Faith. Okay, so Kim is lifting up a young girl that she follows on social media named Riley Faith that has had cancer since age 4, you said, and is now 7. May 4th, she'll be 7. And she just wants to be like everyone else. And who could blame her? It's a prayer for a miracle. For a miracle. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, yeah. So prayer for Linda. She's not here and not part of our choir today, and we don't know why. So hopefully her mom is okay, and she's okay, and her kid's okay. Yeah. Okay. Let us go together as a family. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being God. In the increasing chaos of this world, you are the rock, not only on which we stand, but which we grab onto every cleft and hold onto. As we hold, Lord, give us the opportunity to grab someone else swirling in the chaos. And let us use words if we need to. Thank you for being who you are. Faithful, just, loving, merciful, righteous. Let us always act out from these characteristics of who you are toward others, that your light might shine over the entire world, but definitely over the part of it you give us. Lord, forgive us when we fall short of that mission. Forgive us when we are unsure of what we should say. Forgive us when we have a bad day at work that doesn't show your work ethic. Show us how to always walk in your light, to shine before others. Lord, forgive us when we're short with our friends, with our coworkers, and forgive us when we lose patience with those you've given us to care for. And give us more of your patience and love to show, because we need it. Father God, let us remember to show that love and remembering to pray for so many needs that have been shared here today. Several people going through cancer, Lord, Alyssa and Riley. We lift them up to your throne of grace. And we ask, Holy Spirit, come and touch their bodies. Bring healing to their minds, their bodies, and their hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, and be with Jason Tiaganko. prepare the hearts and minds of his doctors to give them wisdom to know exactly how to bring healing to his heart, to his mind, to his marriage, to his family. Give his kids courage as they go through this, and have his wife Laura be more stoically strong than ever before, but tenderly loving from your grace as well. Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have given in those who have been part of this body over the years. We lift up Pearl Euler's family right now, as she has now gone to be with you. We lift up Lee, and we lift up Chandra. We lift up all the close family friends. Father God, be with them. Give them the peace that passes understanding right now, as they go through the grief that is part of this world, but not part of the one she has gone to. She has achieved final victory. Thank you, Lord. Father God, help us remember to walk each step of our days in that victory now. Because if we have accepted you, we have it. Thank you for the victory, Father. Lord, we lift up others that can't be here. Marie Hunley and Lori Cooper. Lord, we lift them up as they are struggling right now in their minds and their thoughts and the days that go by. Give them clarity of thought. Help them see the day, help them see the night, and help them remember you guide them through each one. And for those in our body who go and minister to them, give them extra love to show, that your light shine through them even brighter than it has. Thank you, Father. I lift up my father-in-law, Lou. Lord, continue to bring him back from pneumonia. And Lord, we praise you for several that have had pneumonia and COVID and are back in our body here today. Thank you for speeding their healing and keeping their hearts and mind anchored in you, so that their flesh could heal. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have given. Thank you for jobs, retirement incomes. Thank you for the ability to go and minister to others. Thank you for cars. Thank you for gas to make a move. Lord, we just ask that you continue to provide, as you always have, just what we need to be part and parcel and sold out for you and your kingdom. Lord, we lift up our leaders now of this nation, of our state, of our counties and our cities, even just the township of Gales Creek. Father God, give them wisdom. Holy Spirit, knock on the doors of their heart. And when they open, give them wisdom. Give them wisdom, give them peace, and give them what they need to rule with clarity and justice and righteousness over us. Thank you, Lord. The true man upon the throne, above all human ambitions. Thank you. Every knee bows to you. Every head bows to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, we got any kids in the house? Landon got a new shirt. Are you rocking to a different tune?
Yeah, what it says on my shirt. Rocking to a tune.
Rocking to a different tune. Let's see. Oh, I think I know this one. Landy, can you say, what a mighty God we serve?
What a mighty God we serve.
Can you say that? What a mighty God we serve? Wow. Try again. What a mighty God we serve. All right. I'm not sure exactly which version this is. Start me off, Judy. We serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. We serve. What a mighty God we serve. We serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Claire, what has our mighty God given you? What has our mighty God given you? Me? Oh. Landon, what has our mighty God given you? Okay, they're definitely getting fills for lunch then. Father God, thank you for these children that you have given all of us here today. Thank you for the future of your kingdom that they represent. And thank you that we can entrust them to you. Watch over their every steps, make straight their paths, and lead them to righteousness for your name's sake. Amen.
I love the excitement. Right, yeah, to be able to go to children's church. That's a good thing. Because sometimes, you know, kids who are brought up in church, it's like, I mean, it's okay. My parents make me come. But when they're excited, that's some good getting. Praise the Lord for that. And thank God for this day. I'm glad to have our Deacon Judy back. Wink and Phyllis, good to see you. Good to be able to stand and be in the house of God. Amen. All right, so I have some opening questions for us to think about today as we dive into the Word of God. Sister Debbie, if you would show our slide there. Just some questions for reflection. Take a few moments and let's think about these things. If you believe in Jesus, you believe that he is God's son, he died for your sins. Do you remember when you started believing that? Do you remember how old you were? Where did you live? What was the circumstance? What made you believe? Just think about that for a few moments. And then if you can articulate that, you can share it with another person or two in our space this morning. So I'll be back in a few moments. Thank you. All right, finish that thought, finish your closing sentence. Some good things, huh? So for some of us, Brother Jane, we had to go way back, you know. It's like, how old was I? I don't even know. But think about that circumstance. What brought you to that place? You know, we take it for granted, like I was raised in church. That doesn't mean that you believe in Jesus. There's a time and place when you actually own your own faith, right? It's no longer your mom's or your dad's faith or your auntie's or uncle or your grandparents, whoever brought you to church. I have friends who are believers now, but it was their grandparents who like, you're going to Sunday school. You're going to go to vacation Bible school. And so they would come pick them up and take them to church. But that doesn't necessarily mean that as kids we understand, right? But thank God for his goodness, because as we continue to grow up in him, we do own our own faith. And it is not the people who brought us to vacation Bible school. Or maybe you got saved at a camp meeting, you know, or a revival. All of our stories are different. And that's a beautiful thing. The important thing is that we believe, because that's what God needs us to do so that he can use us and be used by us, right? He wants to use us. He wants to live in our lives and have us impart into the other people around us. All right, so our today's scripture is a continuation. We're going to see what is happening with the disciples after Jesus is resurrected. Okay, so turn with me again. So Sister Debbie's actually posted the scriptures for us. I'm sharing from the New Living Translation. But if you have a preferred translation, Sister Kim, use that to follow along. I invite you to do that. It's John chapter 20, okay? And so we're going to start at verse 19. When Jesus appears to his disciples. So listen to this, listen to this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And then one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, also nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. And so they told him what happened. We have seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. I put my fingers into them and placed my hand in the wound in his side. So 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was actually with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look into my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Listen to what he says to Thomas. Don't be faithless any longer. And he says to him, believe. And Thomas responds this, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. So then John closes like this. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Amen to the word of God. Amen. So, now, if you recall from last week, if you were here with us, or maybe you tuned in online, Jesus was resurrected 3 days after his crucifixion. His loved ones went to the tomb to carry out their burial rites, and that's when they discovered, hold on a moment, that stone's been rolled away. Is he in there? And then looking in, it was empty. All of the Marys panicked, because if you remember the story, it was Mary and a couple of other Marys. Why were they all named Mary? I don't know. But there were a lot of Marys. And so they came to finish the burial rites, and they panicked. Two of the disciples raced to the site to see for themselves if the story is actually true. Because remember, back in the day, no one believed the testimony of a woman. A woman couldn't testify. So you had to have a male go and check things out. So the two males go. The word is established in the mouth of two or more witnesses, by the way. So those two go and check it out to see if the story's true. And it was John who believed when he saw the empty tomb. He remembered what Jesus had said. So it's very fascinating that in the scripture, when you go back to the different accounts, one by one, it's like, oh, that's what Jesus was talking about. But by and large, the disciples as a whole, they still didn't get it, remember? After he died, they were puzzled why his tomb was empty 3 days later, because they didn't go remove the body. So what in the world is happening right now? So this passage and that we just read, happens to follow the account of Mary seeing Jesus, because John gives the details about when Mary encounters Jesus. Before she goes running to tell the others the tomb is empty, she has a pity party, and she gets all worked up because she didn't understand what Jesus said before he died. Remember? She's like, what in the world? Who came? Who stole his body? Why would you do this to us? She was expecting to see him in the next life, but not literally in 3 days. Right? Remember what happened with the other Mary and Martha? All Jews, well, not all, but most Jews believed in the resurrection. So they expected that after we die, God's going to resurrect us on that great getting up day, and we're all going to be together. So that in their minds, it's just incomprehensible that Jesus would die and then three days later be resurrected. They're not expecting that. So here's Mary. I can't believe they did this. They had the guards come and everything, yet this stone's been rolled away. I'm looking inside. He's not there. Who are these people, by the way? These two men in white. Who are they? Because the angels say to her, oh, honey, don't look for the living where the dead would be. He's alive. She's still crying, and I doesn't even take their word. Still sad. And so they're telling her, hey, he's gone. She's still sad about it and wonders, I just don't understand where they've taken his remains and why would some play that dirty trick on us and why, I don't understand. And so she turns then from the angels and there's somebody standing over here in her peripheral vision, like, who's that over there? Oh, he must be one of the gardeners, one of the caretakers of the cemetery area. So she goes on to repeat her story to him. But when he says her name, Mary, that voice sounds familiar. No one says my Mary like that except for, no way. Then she recognizes the voice. Can it be? Is it my beloved rabbi? It is. But how in the world can this be? She most likely wondered. Jesus explains it once again, why he needed to die, why he needed to be resurrected. And he tells her to go tell the others. So that's when she goes and tells the others that she's seen Jesus and shares the message of hope. And that's when John and Peter run to the tomb. They see it's empty, but then they go back to their homes. John believes it in his head. Oh, it's true what Jesus said. But Peter's still shaking his head like, I don't understand why the tomb is empty. So as a collective, all of the disciples are gone back to their homes. So when you get to today's passage, it picks up that very evening after they've run away from the empty tomb and had discovered it empty. The disciples are hiding and laying it low to prevent attention of the religious leaders, who most likely have got a bounty out on their heads because they're pointing their fingers at the disciples. Yeah, see, this is why we said that we needed to have someone guard the tomb, because we knew that his disciples would come and they were going to steal his body and claim that he came back to life. They didn't want to have to deal with any of that pressure. They know they didn't steal the body. So they decided to hide. Only go out for the necessities. We're hungry. Okay, you and you, go get some food. And then hightail it back. So while they're laying low in a secured place, Jesus appears. Walks right through the locked doors. When you sit and you read these stories, you think of your, I think to myself, now what in the world would I have done? I don't know if I would have passed out like, what? How? You were, I saw you on the cross. I saw Joseph when he took your body and put you in the tomb. How? And we locked the doors. How in the world? What is happening right now? I don't know if I would have fainted. How is he alive? I would have a whole lot of questions, He raised others from the dead. He was the miracle worker. Who raised him if he's dead? How does that work? And again, how did you just walk through our security system that we had going on? We got two people at the door. They're looking, watching out. The door is bolted shut. How did you get past them? Honestly, what's going on? And I probably also would have been thinking like, Mary, is this a cruel trick? You know, I remember this a show when I was a kid called Candid Camera. And, you know, they would just spy on people and pray, you know, do these practical jokes. I probably would have been like, I'm on Candid Camera, aren't I? Who's tricking me right now? Y'all should have told me to wear my makeup and have my hair did if I was going to be on TV. Right? What is happening? But notice how he gets them to believe. He already knows they're probably going to think this is something made up, that it's their something that they ate, something that they drank, and they're just dreaming. He said, no, I'm going to nip all of that in the bud. I'm going to step into the room, and I'm just going to show them. Show them the marks from the nails. Show them the piercing in the side. Because they needed to know and understand. And so when they see those signs, of course, they rejoice when they discover it's really him. And then Jesus breathes on them so they can receive the Holy Spirit and commissions them to carry out the ministry that he began. Now, this is a very curious word. It's very interesting that John chooses to say that Jesus breathes on them. John is very clever in his writing. He compares Jesus breathing into the group of disciples to God breathing life into Adam. Yeah, I know, right? He does that. And it's not just here in this passage. John is specifically writing so that people will know that Jesus is God's Messiah. And so he compares what God did in the beginning, and that's why he starts off his book, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he goes on, right? So that if you are a Jewish person, you know the scripture. What does it start? What does the Torah begin with? In the beginning, God did this thing, right? And then when he created man, he didn't just speak us into existence. When God created humanity, he created humanity with his hands. And then he breathed and made Adam a living soul. So he brings life to humanity by breathing on them. That verb is also blow into, breathe upon, bring the breath into something else. So John says, Jesus did the same thing as God because he is God. He was God. He was there with God at the beginning, will be here in the end. And so when he sees his disciples, he breathes new life into them. He breathes the very Spirit of God into them. So he does that to compare, to show us who Jesus is. And so throughout the book of John, you'll find him comparing Jesus to God to prove that he is God himself and that he is God's Messiah. Jesus does as the Father does. He doesn't come and do anything new and different. He is only carrying out what God said. God created life. And Jesus gives new life to those who believe in him. And this is why he breathes onto them. So, before he quickly leaves, however, when you follow the text, just as quietly as he came, Jesus adds to his commission, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, some of us have taken those words to mean, this is why the priest you have to go before the priest and so that your sins can be absolved. But no, it's actually not that. You know, and if you are a believer, if you know in your mind, if you read all the scriptures, you're like, well, human beings can't forgive your sin anyway. It's God who does that. So what does Jesus mean when he's telling them that? Jesus is simply restating the mission. Just as God sent him to die for the sins of the world and to preach God's forgiveness, they, the disciples, are being sent out to witness to the world God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It's the very same job that he's given us, those who believe now. Same thing. Go out and be witnesses of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So, those who believe our words will be forgiven. Those who do not believe will die in their sin. This is simply what he's saying to them. Go be witnesses. Those who believe, you're going to see them in eternity. Those who don't, you won't. Quite simple. So Jesus leaves them. And then a week later, they gather together. Again, they're still kind of hiding out, playing it safe, because the scripture says they were behind locked doors. But once again, Jesus gets past those locked doors. He gets past the sentries, and he appears right in the midst. And this time, one of the missing members, Thomas, was actually present. So, just as he did last time he came into the whole group and said, check it out, it really is me. He singles out Thomas right out the gate because he knows, he's already aware of the Thomases out there. So he says to Thomas, come, take a close look. Look at these nail wounds. Look at the piercing in my side. And then he commands him to not remain in his unbelief, but to believe. Jesus explains, blessed are those who believe anyhow, despite not walking with me in ministry, seeing me perform miracles, witnessing my resurrection. Jesus was talking about us. He was talking about us. Because we may have, as individuals, seen Jesus in a vision. He may have appeared to us like he did the disciples. But we didn't walk alongside him when he was doing his ministry on earth. We didn't know him intimately like the disciples did, right? We didn't have that opportunity to sit at his feet and learn. And yet, sisters, we are given the opportunity to believe. I didn't get to see the nails. Didn't get to see their pierced wound on his side. I wasn't there when they said, crucify him. When they stuck that crown of thorns on his head. Yet, I believe. We get to believe. And so Jesus was talking about us, and therefore we as a collective are blessed. Why? Because we believe the account of Christ. We believe the one who resurrected others was resurrected after his own death. We believe he can resurrect us from our dead lives to new life in him. Again, a revelation of what the resurrection means. It's not just life after this life with God. It's life right here, right now. What are you doing with your life? So I had you think about, how did I start believing? How old was I? What were the circumstances? I want you to go back to that and revisit so that you can live this day moving forward with purpose. No longer are you just kind of wandering, I'm just going to go to this church service, and I'm going to go do this prayer, and I'm going to go be with these people. No. What did Jesus tell them? You are to go out. Just as my Father sent me, I'm sending you. Go be witnesses. What did you witness? God's forgiveness and the new life that we have through Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God's Messiah. So this is why John chronicled the life and times of Jesus Christ. He wanted to prove Jesus was God's Messiah so that all of those who came after would know the truth. The Bible is not fiction. It's full of stories, but it is not a myth. It is not legend. It is the word of God that teaches us who God is and who we are. Once we meet God through Jesus, we are empowered to live a life and be witnesses to others about the power that dwells inside of us. Our lives will be heavy at times. We had Sunday school this morning and we talked about that. We talked about going up the hill in windy roads. Sometimes life is heavy. There will be days when we are discouraged. You might feel like the disciples did back then. I'm gonna just go to my house, close my doors, close my blinds. I can't be bothered with anybody. I just need to be right here by my own self. Sometimes we may feel like we have to hide so that no one can find us. But just as Jesus told the disciples then, he tells us today, my peace is with you. So don't doubt. Believe. Believe when you're going uphill and you're getting out of breath. Believe when your children are acting, as we said this morning, whack-a-doodle. Believe when the job is not working out the way you want it to. Believe when all of the politics of this world go left and right and back to the left and back to the right. It's okay. Believe. Because the power that lives inside of you gives witness that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus has given you life in him for here and now, and life with God eternally. He lives inside of us. So yes, sometimes life will be heavy, but we can believe. Believe our sins are forgiven. Believe that God will see us through. Believe that we have victory through Jesus Christ. Victory over anything that we face in this life because of our victory in Christ. I want to close with a quote from James Lawrence. He's a pastor at a Lutheran church in North Carolina. Listen to what he says. Again and again, in the midst of our doubts and fears, and in the midst of our sins and failings, our crucified and risen Lord and Savior comes to us and says, peace be with you. Again and again, he comes to us and says, do not doubt, but believe. Again and again, Jesus forgives us. He breathes new life into us and offers us the gift of new life in Christ and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And again, our risen Lord reminds us of our mission to go and share the peace and joy and the hope of this new life with our world that struggles to find peace. They struggle to find joy and hope. They struggle. Again and again, the risen Jesus comes to us to give us peace, to give us new life, to forgive our sin, and to gently remind us to not doubt and to believe. Again and again, he invites us to go. Go in peace to serve our risen Lord. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word that is true, full of stories, full of accounts, but true nonetheless. Thank you that we can stand on your word for the promises that Jesus is your Messiah, that he paid the price for all of us, so we don't have to worry about any of the sins in our lives because you've taken care of it all. You've made a way back to a loving, kind relationship with you. And so you have granted us through your Son not only salvation, but the ability to witness to the world around us. I pray now, God, that you would help each of us to identify ways that we can bring that peace, that joy, that forgiveness that the world is seeking. Use us, God, this very week to speak life into someone else. Just as you breathed on us, breathe on the people around us. In your holy name, we pray it and ask it. Amen and amen. All right, today, before we close, before we dismiss, we are going to participate in celebrating the Lord's Supper, also known as communion. Deacon Judy's going to help me come and serve. Those of you who are at home, we invite you to prepare to celebrate with us virtually. You can grab something to drink, grab some crackers, and wait, and we will all consume together. As we celebrated Jesus' resurrection just a couple weeks ago, we celebrate his resurrection again today. And every time that we celebrate communion together, as you will remember, when Jesus did it with his disciples, it was Passover. They were remembering what God had done to save his people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so it was required that a lamb body would be broken and sacrificed, and that the blood would be shed and poured onto the doorpost so that they could be saved. Jesus is that Passover lamb for all of us. This is his broken body. Take, eat of it. He sacrificed his life for us. We take the drink or we drink it. This represents his blood shed for us. And when we do this, we remember the work is not in us. I can't earn my way back into heaven, back into a good relationship with God. It's all in the work of Christ. So remember this when you go and when you're shining your light. When people say, but I haven't done this and I'm not perfect. Jesus shed his blood. And he broke his body for us, so we don't have to worry about those things. Amen? We are brothers and sisters. We are siblings in Christ because of the work that he did for us. once and for all. Amen. Let's close with a song and a benediction.
Stand, and we're going to close with Jesus is alive.
Holy, 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 that's right, holy, holy.
I looked at the wrong song.
Here we go.
Gracious Father, gracious Father, we're so blessed to be your children, gracious Father, and we lift our hearts before you as a token of our love, gracious Father, gracious Father. Precious Jesus, we're so glad that you've redeemed us, precious Jesus. And we lift our hearts before you as a token of our love, precious Jesus. Precious Jesus, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts anew, Holy Spirit, and we lift our hearts before you as a token of our love. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Amen and amen. Pray with me as we leave this place. Holy God, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being a God who stands by his promises. You are not like man who would forget about the details and change your mind. Thank you for that. Thank you for creating a way to get back to you when you knew we were going to sin. You knew we would go astray. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiveness. We also thank you for empowerment through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for living inside of us, reminding us that we belong to you. You are our Father. And so we say thank you. Empower us now to be loving and kind to the people around us, at work, at school, at play, at the store, all the things. We give you glory and honor and praise. Amen. Go with God's peace. Know that his grace follows you wherever you go. Until we meet again, amen and amen.